Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
Just sold out all the floor seats.
Take me on a trip, I'd like to go someday. Take me to New York, I'd love to see LA. I really want to come pick you with you. You'll be my American boy. He said, hey sister, it's really, really nice to meet ya. I just met this 5'7" guy who's just my type. Like the way he's speaking, confidence is peaking. Don't like his baggy jeans, but I'ma like what's underneath it. And no, I ain't been to MIA. I heard the Cali never rains and New York's wide awake. First, let's see the West End. I'll show you to my bedroom. I'm liking this American boy, American boy. Take me on a trip, I'd like to go someday. Take me to New York, I'd love to see LA. Let's go
they're gonna say UK. Reluctantly, cause most of this press don't fuck with me. Estelle once said, tell me, cool down, down. Don't act a fool now, now. Always act a fool, ow, ow. Ain't nothing new now, now. He crazy, I know what you're thinking. Rapina, I know what you're drinking. Rap singer, chain blinger. Holla at the next chick soon as you're blinking. What's your persona about this Americana? Rhymer, am I shallow? Cause all my clothes designer. Dress smart like a London bloke. Before he speak, his suit be spoke. And you thought he was cute before. Look at this peacoat, tell me he's broke. And I know you ain't into all that. I heard your lyrics, I feel your spirit. But I still talk that cat ass. Cause a lot of wags wanna hear it. And I'm feeling like Mike at his baddest. Like the picture they Gladys. And I know they love it. So they hit with all that rubbish.
Would you be my lover?
Could you be mine?
Would you be my lover?
Would you be mine?
Could you be my lover?
Would you be my American boy? American boy.
Take me on a trip, I'd like to go someday. Take me to Chicago, San Francisco, babe.
What would save the world?
Veganism.
Gun control.
Ending capitalism.
Consensus.
More guns.
Nonviolent communication.
Energy.
Green energy.
Spirituality.
Law regulation.
Emotional education.
End the war on drugs.
Libertarianism.
Socialism.
I'm Tuke Edelo, and this is
What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m.
Hello, everybody. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's not the morning, but it's my morning. Happy Monogamous Fetish Day, or Monogamy Fetish Day. I can't even say monogamy anymore. I said monogamish. That's not even like a fucking word. That's some shit people say when they're like, oh, I'm trying monogamy, but I'm not like sure, so I'm monogamish.
Yeah.
So I'm here today with Anonymous, and I'm here with Peter Solar, my co-host.
Hello.
I got some shit I gotta say, but... So I want to say, like, I hope you're having fun with your one and only and forever until one of you gets into yoga or goes to some Burning Man sex party and stops wanting to be with you or, like, wants to be with some guy named Albus Fumbledore the Ninth. And, you know, like, he's running for president. You know, he's running on the platform of anti-vaxxing and the flat earth theory will be written in history textbooks for the rest of your life. So yeah, happy fucking Valentine's Day. We're here with my co-host and our guest Anonymous, like I said. And this time last year, what were we doing with ourselves, Peter? What were we doing? What's the anniversary?
We were at the STD clinic to get tested.
Yeah, we were getting fucking tested together on Valentine's Day. Did they have like little decorations and shit?
Yeah,
oh my
great.
God,
yeah,
it was so like, good. And little hearts everywhere. And me and Peter were like, can we have sex now? Like, I think we just found out we didn't have HIV and we were like, okay, yeah. Let's just do it.
Let's just do it.
Which is, if we're going to be smart, if we're really going to talk about what would save the world, like, don't do that. You know, we got like fucking like antibiotic resistance gonorrhea and shit now. Like, don't just, you know, yeah. Yeah, Peter.
Who would fuck the world?
Who would fuck the world? Bacteria-resistant gonorrhea. Anyway, I hope you're having fun with your sweeties or your sweeties. You know, polyglamorous people can have Valentine's Day too, I guess. All right, so... Today's episode is called Who's Against Peace in Korea. So, Anonymous, I want to know, like, what does that even, like, mean? Like, who's against? Do you feel like a lot of people are against peace in North Korea, or is it just, like, they're ill-informed, or what do you think?
I think they're ill-informed. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I just want you to talk into the mic.
Hello.
You can move it down as much as you want. Yeah. Whatever is comfortable for you. Yeah. All right. So, who is, like, are people legitimately against peace in North Korea? Like, what do you think about it? I just want to hear your thoughts. I don't know crap.
Some people are, and then a lot of people are functionally not helping. Most people who run their mouths know 0% of the situation.
Talk into the mic. I can't. Peter, help her out. Get Anonymous into the mic. There we go. Yeah, talk like we're right into the mic. So all these fucking, all up in that shit. So all these motherfucking ill-informed people who are functionally not helping can fucking hear. So they can either deal with their shit or continue to have their like liberal reactionary shit. So like when I, Peter is like blowing the mic. Wait, can I tell the dirty story? Can I tell it?
No.
Okay.
We have to wait for like 5 more episodes for that.
Okay, fine. Everybody keep tuning in. So Anonymous, I want to know, I just like saying Anonymous. It's fun to say. So
Anon.
So who are these people? Like what are people's misconceptions about Korea? What do they not understand? Cuz like I posted this episode and someone said some shit to me like stop people getting something with the bombs, and I was just kind of like, what's your point? And they're like, I don't have a point. It's Facebook. But like, you know, they said something like, I posted the advertisement, like, for this episode.
Stop getting people to support ICBMs, intercontinental ballistic missiles.
And like, I don't know anybody who's like supporting that. Like, but like, I don't even understand.
Tankies, but. Oh.
Yeah. Okay, that's how we actually got into this conversation. Yeah. Like, so what do you think? You don't think tankies are a problem in this, Anonymous? That's what you were telling. So,
what's your opinion on like the desire for Korean reunification, as well as just like, you know, without keeping to both like U.S. imperialism and just like blanket unwavering support for the DPRK? You know, so like, what's your opinion in the spectrum of debate between those?
So. I think it's pretty easy to do, and it doesn't have to. I feel like this topic gets swept up with people who are already against tankies, and I don't really think they're off the mark by too much on this issue.
Where are they on this issue?
Well, they seem to be informed and care because they care about the DPRK. So they ignore South Korean politics too, a little bit more than other people who are talking about this stuff. But in general, what people are saying right now is that 90% of the left and liberal media in the U.S. is to the right of everybody except for 10% of the far right in Korea. And, you know, it was illegal to seem like you were supporting North Korea at all, right, for this whole time.
You mean in the U.S.?
In South Korea.
In South Korea, okay.
So if you have 90% of the people not shitting on Kim Jong-un, then, and, you know, at risk of retaliation, that says something. But people, by and large, don't pay attention to anybody who is close to the situation.
Yeah, so... First of all, so DPRK, I actually think that a lot of people listening to this are going to be extremely ill-informed about what that even means. Like, that's the North Korean government?
Yeah.
Okay, see, like, I think a lot of people don't even fucking know. I think a lot of people are like, DPRK, like, what is that? Like, a lot of people don't know jack shit about North Korea. We have to understand that the majority of the people in the U.S. that I speak to are just kind of like, oh, North Korea wants to bomb us and we should be scared. So we should fucking go in and take them down. That's what a lot of people think.
Right. And then so, it, you know, this feels like the run-up to the Iraq War. And unfortunately now, the people who I'm hearing scapegoat the other aren't just like I don't know, regular white people. They're like my fucking comrades, and it's disappointing.
Yeah, the people who are like, oh, let's go in there. Like people who would like, you would think are generally anti-imperialist, who would be like, oh, well, we can't go in the Middle East. But they're like, oh, but North Korea, right. That's an exception. Which is like, so here's something that I always think about. Like, I see like Marxist-Leninists, which, you know, I would generally refer to as like a tanky, even though I like some Marxist-Leninists. Let's not like pretend like I don't have mad people who would call themselves Marxist-Leninists who I would have right here and respect the shit out of them. Like, let's not like play around here. But right. But what I do think is I see like on like Workers World, like these letters to Kim Jong, where it's just like a whole letter to him about like, oh, for protect this and this about him. And I'm like, what about, and I'm always just like, well, what about the fucking people there? Like, what do you think would be best for the actual people? And like, fuck the lawyer, the leaders. What do you think?
Well, it's really not for me to say. I wouldn't write a letter to their leaders, but I also wouldn't shit on their leaders right now.
Why is that?
It's like bringing up, it's kind of like bringing up black on black crime after a police shooting. Like, that's not relevant right now. And why are you saying that? You're just saying that to say something. And what's the effect? It just pushes the conversation further right still.
Further right. Oh, you mean like, so if you talk shit about the leader, then you're just giving like, you're giving like sort of like a, like an, you're like saying it's okay what the people on the right want to do. It's like, you're sort of giving them their kind of credit, or that's how they'll take it, even if that's not how you mean it.
It's right. Kind of orientalist and racist in terms of this
whole idea. Super racist.
And at the end of the day, this whole idea, the fear mongering about like the threat North Korea poses to the, it's just, especially to the U.S., it's just bonkers. Like, it doesn't,
I mean,
they can't get, it's like there's not going to be like a nuclear strike on U.S. soil from North Korea.
There's not going to be a first strike. Like, a lot of this is that people don't even know basic shit. Like, they're not going to do a first strike, and they've been trying to do a peace treaty, and they always say they'll denuclearize when the U.S. and the ROK stop having war games. Like, they provoke them all the time. Mm-hmm. So that's a big part, right?
Provokes.
It's like tit for tat. People think that they're coming out of nowhere, and they're obviously not.
So, like, do you think this is different than, like, you know, like, Middle East stuff where, like, yo, wait, you can answer. You can answer on the right now. Do you think that this is, it's, like, the same thing when people talk shit about Assad? Do you think that's the same thing? Do you think
that gives, like, I don't know. Like, I would never fucking judge that shit because I don't know enough.
That's apples and oranges.
Is it apples and oranges?
I mean, yeah,
because that's like my whole thing where I like criticize tankies. It's like they'll talk shit about like our shitty dictator, but they'll be like, oh, like we're pro all these other dictators without ever mentioning the people that are that like would actually be affected or like without asking anybody who's actually under the rule of those people. Do you know what I'm saying? Like without ever thinking about
it's
that.
It's different because the geopolitics are different. Like North Korea is this like isolated nation that's trying to like carve its own way in the world that has little allies, like no, it has a GDP of fucking like Dayton, Ohio. So like versus if you compare that to like Iran or Syria, which are major power players, like Assad's regime has like links to the U.S. is like, we're the ones that put him in power, and so it's all different.
And we're giving them weapons and all this shit. And then you have then you have like North Korea, which is like this small country that the U.S. keeps threatening and has no allies and makes them look really bad on a global scale. So there's no way.
They don't have no allies.
They don't have no allies. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
They're in solidarity with the global South.
What
the general?
Wait, okay, everybody's talking to the same hand. Wait, what did you say?
They're in solidarity with the global South in general.
The global style.
The game, the game that the tankies play is just this whole idea of like, if it's West, it's bad. If it's not, I support it. This without really understanding the nuance of really what's going on. So like, there's a lot of different regimes and governments and stuff that are anti-West, and it doesn't mean it's all the same thing going on. In regards to like North Korean support and like allies and that type of thing, it's just kind of like a moot point. Like everybody's giving them aid, and like they get aid, and China. It's kind of been like the ones just like propping them up to just make sure that like they can exist as a country, you know, and that's like the real crux of the problem of going to war with North Korea would be. be triggering like a war with China, because they would.
Plus,
the first thing they would want, yeah, the first thing they would do is invade North Korea to get to the
and the occupation.
Yeah, to get to the bases before the U.S. does, because they want that buffer zone between U.S. They don't want U.S. military bases on their border, like so.
Okay.
And yeah, and it's all at the expense of the Korean people. So this idea that, despite China propping up North Korea, do they have the Korean people's interest at heart? No, like. It's
but what I'm saying is, like, do you think talking shit about like Assad continues to give support to people who want us to just go into Syria more and like take over and just fucking, you know, colonize that shit?
Well, no, I mean, it's more that whole debate is about like the facts of the case in terms of Syria. Is this like so what happened in Syria was there was an Arab Spring event, like, which spread all throughout the rest of the world, which Occupy was a part of as well, linked into that, as well as the square movements in Spain and Russia. And that's the real link of what was happening. It was a popular uprising supported by leftists. The first thing Assad did was attack those people and go after it. It stems from a protest movement. It's a civil war scenario at this point. Assad was barrel bombing people. He was using gas and stuff. And it's at the same time, it's like,
what I want to know is, like, what makes that so different from Kim Jong? That's what I want to know. Like,
it's irrelevant.
Because
we're not following tankies.
Yeah.
Like, Marxist-Leninists are in solidarity with the Korean left, unlike everybody else in America.
So what does the Korean left want?
Reunification.
Yeah.
I mean, most of Korea, 89% of Korea wants reunification at this point.
But South Korea.
That's South Korea. No, yeah. 89% of South Korea wants that right now.
Reunification with North Korea.
Yeah.
Okay. So what could make that happen? What would make that happen?
Getting the U.S. out.
Getting the U.S. out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, okay.
Or, you know, so it's like the U.S. refuses to sign a peace treaty. Like, why the fuck are they even a part of our, you know, like, what the fuck? And so they're making moves, right? It's been very good. This has been very good, what's been happening in the last couple of weeks. But
what's been happening in the last couple of weeks?
The Olympics, you know, marching under the same flag, singing the anti-colonial song together.
You think a lot of people don't even know this is going on. See, I don't.
Well, it's hot. Like, the situation is really hot. So I don't know why people think that their opinions matter when they are so uninformed. Just like, shut up. And even better, like, help. But most people aren't helping at all. And, you know, that makes me partial to Marxist-Leninists, knowing, like, not really anything about Syria. And I was looking at something that you posted, Peter. And about, like, red brown.
Yeah, this whole thing.
And that shit is all not about Korea. I was like, this is irrelevant.
It has nothing to do with Korea.
Yeah.
And that's the whole idea.
What's this red brown thing?
This is something we talked about a few shows ago when we did our, like, tanky show, and I talked about this. So basically how some members of Workers World and PSL met with Putin and Russia for an anti-imperialist conference, and there was a lot of, like, Nazis there and conspiracy theorists, and how Sputnik Radio is run by the founder of the PSL, who basically goes on this whole, like, it's this whole, like, Lyndon LaRouche style idea.
It's
about
pretty complicated.
Before. It's really complicated. It's just,
it's also like, that's what it is. I keep asking you questions. It's like, so fucking, like, confusing, honestly. Yeah. It's like, oh, so, like,
I mean,
the first, so you're a Marxist-Leninist, all right? But so, like, you're a communist of some kind, and then you're meeting up with these Nazis and these people, and fucking confusing.
This is the game, and, like, this is the game. When we talk shit on tankies, especially in the media, and when we're going after people, like, I think it's time to retire that word and just use something else. And just kind of, like, the heartbreakingness that they kind of stole the term anti-imperialist.
Yeah, that's how I feel, too, because
that's not what they're going for, because, like,
so anyway, so we can keep talking about this, but what I want to hear about is, I want to hear about what Anonymous has to say about, like, so you're saying that, like, Marxist-Leninists are, like, some of the only people who are actually helping or paying attention to this, or what the people actually want in Korea. And I think that is, like, the heart of what I But I mean, you know, like maybe again, like I don't know that much about it, and I shouldn't have an opinion. But I'm always gonna be like, what do the people want in any situation? So I want to know, like, what can people here or anywhere actually do to help them further that cause of reunification? Like, what can people do? Can they like promote like media that's about that? What can people? What do you think people can do?
I would just amplify the voices that are closest to the situation and that are least like corrupted by money, which is what the answer is for pretty much everything. You know, the people who talk about this stuff are like never Korean in the Western media. Exactly. So it's like, it's not like Korean people don't speak English. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of shit. And also like there's a really long history of repression in South Korea after the US backed military dictatorship, right? So people might have opinions that they've never been able to express, especially if they then immigrated to America where it's illegal to be a communist as well. So there is a lot there that needs to be unpacked, and instead of it's all just getting glossed over by people who don't care and don't know.
Yeah, because like it would be really hard for like somebody to immigrate here with people here knowing they're a communist, right?
It was illegal.
Is it illegal to be? It was. Okay. I was about to be like, I don't know. I say I'm a communist all the time, but it would be harder. I would imagine it would be harder for an immigrant to get here, though, if somebody found out they were a communist.
Is it still illegal to be a communist in South Korea?
I was reading about the national security law today, and I couldn't really tell if it's still in place, but it's.
Yeah,
dicey. But, so you know, they also have, like, these incredible movements that we've seen over the last couple of years, which gives me hope that they can, like, get their house in order and actually fight in their interest. But we, you know, that we all stand in their way.
Mm-hmm. It's just funny how, like, North Korea is just this beacon that everybody around the world has to have an opinion on. When it's just, for me personally, like, I've never really touched it because I just don't. I'm not Korean.
Yeah, it's outside of the
influence in like the global stage is nil. Like it's not this thing. And like every time it's propped up with this like axis of evil type, it's ridiculous. When like Bush's original axis of evil is fucking like Iran, Iraq, and then North Korea. It's like, wait,
there what? $10 trillion of untapped rare minerals in North Korea.
Is that what this is about?
Of course.
Oh my God. It's always about some shit like that.
U.S. military is the largest consumer of fossil fuels on the planet. Mm-hmm. That's what this is all about. They are, you know, they try to sell the THAAD, which is the missile defense system, which just makes shit worse, to Hawaii after they, like, faked that fucking alert.
Mm-hmm. So maybe we should create a push for actual like Korean immigrants to be able to speak in the media. We should be pushing mainstream media to have those people
right
like on their on their channels and on their media sources, and instead of just like having like, you know, these like expert unquote unquote journalists or whoever the fuck.
There are a couple of there are people who are more visible than others who are doing the real work.
Korean voices.
Yeah, and they like rise, they rise to the top. But they still only have like, you know, maybe 10 likes per tweet. Like they're, people just don't give a fuck what they have to say. And they're like out there trying.
Twitter's also not a good metric to
measure. What are their names?
There's a woman named Christine Ahn, A-H-N, and she founded, I think it's called like Women Cross the DMZ for Peace or something like that. She does a lot. There's this guy, Tim Shorrock, Shorrock. He's white. He's pretty good.
Okay. So I'm just trying.
And then, you know, there are like young people who are like tweeting their fucking hearts out.
Yeah. I'm trying to find this song you sent me, but I'm having everybody, just so everybody knows, I'm fucking the Radio Free Brooklyn laptop. Our fucking A key is fucked up. So I have to fucking find the word on Google and copy and paste it. So you wanted me to play Please Don't Bother Me Anymore by Golden Grapes?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's play that shit. Let's take a little bit of a break. You've been listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm here with Peter Solar and Ann Onimus, and we are talking about who was against peace in Korea, which is apparently a lot of people, and probably me, but not like on purpose, but probably me. Okay, here we go. Everyone, welcome back to What Would Save the World. That was Golden Grapes. Please don't something because the fucking screen disappeared on me. We're gonna find that out right now because I'm a fucking idiot. Oh, Please Don't Bother Me Anymore by Golden Grapes. Please Don't Fucking Bother Me Anymore about your bullshit. Anyway, so on the break we were talking about, so I was saying like, oh, like what I think we need to make clear in case any normies are listening, I'm sorry if I called you a normie and if that offends you, but you know, like it's okay, like I've been a normie before. Anonymous is like, have you now? All right, so I think that a lot of people think that Kim Jong is like evil, like the most evil motherfucker, and like honestly, like, I personally think that anybody who is a leader or, like, wants to be the head of a country is, like, pretty fucking weird. There's something like wrong with you. That's what I think. That's why I'm like, fuck all the presidents. Like, fuck Obama. Obama's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Ooh. I think that Donald Trump's a piece of shit. I think that George Bush is a piece of shit. I think that like Michelle Obama might not be a piece of shit because she never wanted to be there. But like, okay. So what? So we were talking about this. So like you were. So tell me about this Kim Jong thing.
It's a single amount.
Like, why do you think that he might be evil?
Why do I think he might be evil?
Yeah.
Because I think that people who are leaders are generally evil. Right. And I am like,
do you think that he is like clearly the most evil person in the world?
No.
Right.
I mean, but I don't think that there really is. I think that there's like variations. I'm like, what's fucked up? Like, so I like, again, like I am openly like ready to throw myself under the bus and use myself as the example of like, what's wrong with this. But like what I see is like him, like, hanging out with like celebrities and shit, and like you're just like some like little rich kid, honestly.
Like one celebrity?
Did he hang out with one celebrity? I mean, you know, I might be getting
most people hang out.
He's part of the same ruling class. It's just that he's just ostracized and ousted because of the perception about his country and the way he runs his
okay,
country.
Okay, so he gets it. We're okay. So yeah. So he
also like he just doesn't look cool to like America. You know, like he doesn't look cool to like nothing that we have grown up with would result in looking at somebody like him and thinking that he might be cool. Like, I'm not saying he's cool, but
I know what you're saying. But I say I don't think that like anybody who's like in a position of power like that is cool. But
neither do I. But like, since when do all these other people feel that way when they're like just talking about fucking Oprah?
I mean,
yeah. Or Chelsea Manning, like pick your fucking hero, but everybody's got their own fucking heroes, except like me. I fucking have
this
heroes.
Is the type of thing in terms of building solidarity.
Mine is Barbara Streisand, but she's probably a Zionist, which makes me like want to reject her. See, but see, like I'm willing to like reject my people.
Right.
You know, okay, so, yeah. Sorry, Peter.
I mean, like, this is the problem.
My bloody Valentine.
This is why we should. This is the attempt in terms of building solidarity with people in different countries, especially. So like when it's like U.S., Iran, and where everyone's showing us like, look how similar Iranian society is to American society and stuff. And just showing, it's like, the people there don't like their fucking leader. They don't like the Ayatollah. Just how we don't. And in terms of comparing, like, even though it's a really far stretch because they're different countries, different
cultures, different this, different that, different
the
situations.
Like, the criticisms in North Korea is that, like, they have a bunch of military bases and they run prison camps. And if you look at the vast majority of the U.S.
The U.S. does that shit. Like,
according to the State Department, the U.S. Incarcerates people at a higher rate than North Korea.
Exactly.
So yeah, I believe that.
The U.S., it's like to say that, like, North Korea is a nation of military bases and prisons is...
That's like
the U.S.
That's
is a nation,
like a lot of nations.
It's just projecting, yeah. Right? Like it's a venue for people to say that these things are wrong when they would never say that closer to home. It's bullshit.
The problem is where the racism and the Orientalism comes in is singling out North Korea and Kim Jong-un as this like singular existential threat to the rest of the world.
I mean, it plays out in a lot of ways.
Like completely legitimate. And when we were also talking about, so yeah, it's like fucking racist to single out Kim Jong.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, to single him out. Like if you want to say he's a piece of shit, fine, but then you got to call everybody else a piece of shit too. To single out him and be like, he is the single worst is racist.
And like, why say that at the, like, their least shitty moment ever when they're like trying to, to like play nice?
That's legit. I'm just like a little bit about like, let's always talk shit about all the leaders. But you could talk about other leaders that suck. If you want to talk shit about hierarchy, you could talk shit about Donald Trump instead, which is like, you got shit about Donald Trump. Even
talk
if
about
we
fucking Joe Kennedy III.
Wait, who the fuck is that?
He's the next in line in the Kennedy.
Oh, is he the new
Kennedy dynasty?
Is he the new Hillary? Is that the one that they're pushing or whatever?
He's the new fucking JFK.
but isn't he like? Oh, he's that young guy. That everybody was trying to like talk.
The
fuck was that? Is that your sex noise, Peter?
No, that's my liberal like swoon.
That's your fan noise.
Swoon.
I remember reading some shit
people
like that.
Kind.
Okay. He was like against a bunch of like really important shit, and
he was against healthcare, prison reform. He's against basically all the things Bernie Sanders was. All right.
He's against he's against prison reform. All right, country and military bases and prisons. All right, there you go. All right, so we were going to talk about, enough about, you know, dude, which we shouldn't even, like, be talking that much about. We should talk about, like, again, like, the people. So you're talking about, like, the peninsula, like, what would happen Let's talk about that.
Well, 70 million people's lives are at risk.
If the U.S. bombs or some other country.
Well, there was talk of... So, Kissinger... Trump met with Henry Kissinger.
Last week,
the fucking Sith Lord who's still alive. Fucking, like, 93 years old.
He's, like, the reason ISIS exists, if you really, like, look into that.
He's the reason that Khmer Rouge happened, and he's behind the Cambodian genocide and all that shit.
He's behind so much terrible shit.
So, he was talking about how a nuclear first strike would be a very tempting option. And what people don't understand about, like, nuclear weapons is, like, these are, like... It's pretty much like a solar flare man-made solar flare that you ignite on the surface of the planet. A nuclear first strike would destroy the Korean Peninsula, meaning, like, both North Korea, South Korea, as well as the radioactive cloud, depending on which way the wind blows, would then fuck up Shanghai or fuck up Japan. And like,
so they're literally talking about blowing up, like, a significant portion of the world.
Yeah, they're talking about destroying, like...
so many lives.
Far East Asia.
The Pentagon also said that 20,000 people would die per day in South Korea if there were a war.
If there was a ground on the boots.
And that's
fucking not okay. Okay, so I really hear what you're saying now about like what's the fucking
this
point.
This is a genocide. The whole fucking country. It's a tiny country. Mm-hmm. 70 million people. Okay. And thousands of years of cultural history, which has already been like attempted to be destroyed over the time. Because of where it's located geopolitically, Korea has been invaded, occupied, and colonized forever. So they're also, like, you know, ready to fucking call this shit out. Don't erase Korea from the world. Like, what the fuck? No, it's not...
It's just really weird and sick and, like, detached the way, like, Pentagon bureaucrats and just, like, people in general just talk about, like, when they do the analysis, like, oh, yeah, 20 million people a day would die. To act like if that's what's going to happen going
there's no reason to do
act,
it.
To say that, like, this is to liberate the people of North Korea.
They obviously don't care about liberating anybody. If they cared, they would be pretending to, like, be allies with fucking South Korea, which they're obviously not. There isn't even an envoy still. For over a year, this position has been vacant. They nominated a hawkish dude to do it. And then because he didn't support first strike against North Korea, he was dismissed. There's no fucking, like, they're not even pretending to give a fuck about, like, their ally.
Or just the fucking people.
And, you know, obviously, if they start the war, that's just it. That's it. And there's no reason why there would be a war except for if the U.S. starts it.
Okay, so we need to be fucking, everybody listening, you need to be anti-first strike, anti-fucking war with Korea. You got to be, like, pushing for the U.S. to, you know, stay the fuck out of there. And, like, you know, if the U.S. has to be involved in a peace treaty, fine. But you have to understand that it's kind of, like, ridiculous that we even need to be in a peace treaty. That we're even involved because we're all the way fucking over here, and it's kind of like, and you do it if you're like worried about Kim Jong, you should just be horrified that like that Donald Trump is more than a U.S. power when it comes down to it. You know what I'm saying? Like the fact that U.S. needs to be involved in like a peace treaty with Korea, who like you're saying is like had so much culture kind of like tried to be erased, right?
And it's culture that you guys fucking like.
Like what?
Like fucking mindfulness and zen and fucking pickled food and face masks. You like this shit.
Exactly, Miss Burning Man. Miss Burning Man, who's ever listening out there. Miss Burning Man, you like Korea. You like Korea. And you like the culture.
You like culture. You just don't like Asian people.
Yeah, you like the culture, right. But not the people. That's such a fucking real thing, though. That's the U.S.
I mean, if you want something to be afraid about, just if you all these fucking sides and bullshit and just follow, if you follow the money and follow, it's like, look at like the reason all this stuff happened is but the fear of China being a communist. And like you look at it now, it's not like China and the U.S. and Russia, they all trade with each other. They've all been in each other's investments and stuff. Like that's why the whole Russiagate stuff is bonk and bullshit because it's like, this is just a thing that happens. It's just like, it's all mafia politics. It's all ruling class.
It's all people. Games. It's all looking games. At people yeah, like so, they're ants.
So it's like you can't. This hardcore like nationalist, nation state mentality that a lot of people get into of just like, oh, I gotta root for my team and like everyone else's team go fuck themselves. Yoo-haw. It's like not only is it inherently fascistic, it's just like not how the world works. And
there are more than
they
two
actually
teams.
These people actually like these leader these political leaders, these heads of state actually like bank all their power on maintaining that myth that like, oh, we're butting heads all the time and there's like it's bullshit. There is no like you if you go even with the Russiagate stuff, it's like you find out who the hell like Putin's been funding or who the Russians been funding. It's like dude, it's like Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are both getting fucking money from Russia just because it's like the U.S. built the Russian government after the Cold War.
Yo, fuck the Russian fucking government. Fuck the fucking government. Yeah. I'm sorry. Like, yeah. Okay. Like, but see, like, what I'm worried about is these fucking, like, gay Holocaust camps I hear about over there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, like what I'm concerned about, like, and I feel like we're falling into this trap right now. And I'm like we're falling into the trap of just talking about the governments and the leaders. And they are completely fucking relevant. But we have fucking Anonymous, who I almost called you the wrong name, over here talking about, like, how people, they want reunification. They want to be unified from their with their families and their relatives, right? Like, I've seen...
They also want to stop getting raped. Yeah. U.S. soldiers rape people with impunity and they can't be tried.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so...
They also want Japan to pay reparations for their sex slaves.
So I have an idea. I have an idea. And let me tell you what tell me what you think of this. We got to start a fucking giant, like, we got to fucking co-opt Me Too and talk about that.
Well, what do you mean?
Like, Me Too right now is, like, important or whatever. People's talking about all their personal things. But, like, it's mostly become, like, a platform for celebrities to, like, talk about their hardships. And, like, I'm glad people are talking about their abuses and, like, whatever. I'm not trying to take that away. Yeah. But, like, I think a lot of people straight up don't know that.
Like prison
don't know
rape,
like how serious
rape.
That is over there.
Yeah, well, the problem is that they don't fucking care.
They should though. We should try to build empathy for people in Korea, and then
so all you should. I mean, like, Korea had a Me Too movement like a year ago.
Nobody paid.
They
attention.
Already did it. No, I mean it mattered for them, right? And their Candlelight Revolution was a big deal.
Candlelight Revolution.
They impeached their president. Like, we're not anywhere close to impeaching our president, which is not even a sufficient idea to fix our problems. But
then we just end up with fucking pens.
People really act like impeachment just, like, happens. Like, no, like, that's like, two trials. Like, it takes forever.
And people don't realize what impeachment is.
They don't know what it is. It's just charging.
It's a declaration.
To bring charges against.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like even, yeah. Even Bill Clinton was impeached, quote unquote.
Yeah.
So... Anyway, the point is just like, I don't know, develop media literacy and retweet Korean people. Like, just pay attention to what, like, it's like just with anything, like, just pay attention to what you don't know. And I wouldn't like ask anybody to give a fuck about this shit, but
I would,
you know, like,
fucking give a fuck.
It does affect everybody if we get into a fucking nuclear war.
And honestly, like, you know, I'm down for, like, sometimes telling people what they should care about. You should fucking care about what happens to people in a country that has been fucked with over and over. Just people in general. You should give a fuck what happens to people in this world. That's what I think. But
I mean, you should give a fuck about what America did to Korea if you, like, give a fuck about other leftist shit.
Yeah, like, why are you listening to this show if you don't give a fuck about the world? It's called What Would Save the World.
What America did to the world.
Yeah, that's what we should fucking change the title of this show to. Man. Well, what the U.S. did to the world. What? No, some people
I
like...
I want to talk about what everybody did to the world in terms of the ruling class.
Okay, so, okay.
You want to go into World War II? Like, No. You put this...
No, I just love you. So, happy Valentine's Day.
No, in terms of this Nazi stuff and putting the Nazis on the pedestal of evil and all this stuff, is like... You look back at what happened in World War II and, like, the whole hypocrisy of the Nuremberg trials is that, like, everybody was committing war crimes. Everybody was committing genocide. Is that if the Nuremberg trials were applied to the Allied powers, they'd be responsible for the same thing. Like, there's troops, like, when they liberated France, there was a bunch of troops in France that also engaged in, like, mass rape of the French countryside. You know, U.S. and U.K. troops just running wild because they had nothing to do in, like, post-war France. Like, it's that type of shit. Like, is that we put certain things up on the pedestal of evil, and this gets back to the whole like evil, ultimate evil question. It's like, it's not a good way to look at the world in terms of good and evil. There is no good and evil. It's just like, what are you willing to tolerate versus how you perceive other like foreign states and what they do, you know? So it's like, if you're willing to tolerate the lengths and level of violence and brutality that US and UK and like Russia or China or Japan are willing to do, but you then look at like smaller states and smaller governments that do similar things and then put that as like the pedestal of evil, then
yeah,
it's that same type of shit. It's just like, what is evil? This isn't evil. There's no you know, like,
yeah, I don't I never used to call shit evil until the last few years when
I've actually stopped because it's just like, it's just not, it doesn't make a point anymore.
It's
like,
not, yeah, it's not really meaningful.
So what I want to know, Anonymous, so we're coming to sort of an end here. We have like maybe like 7 or 8 minutes left on this show, and I want to play at least some of Kim Sun's song, The Men Who Must Leave. It's an 8-minute song, so I don't think we're going to play all of it. But I want to know if, what? What's up? Well, go on. I just want to know, do you have anything you want to end up off with before we do that?
I think there's a lot that we didn't cover. Like Japan. Mm-hmm. And also, I you know,
which totally fucks up the Taiki narrative.
I think that
yo, shut the fuck up.
There's like a little room right now to possibly bridge shit between like anarchists and Taikis right now. I think that
no
on this show right now.
Well, no, I mean, no.
I'm down. Hey,
the thing
solidarity
is,
forever.
Right.
I don't think that's actually the wrong way.
Do you know that they think that most anarchists are just like white racists in these conversations?
Well, a lot of anarchists are white racists.
Right.
I mean, if but you want to talk to white anarchists who think that, but see, they do the same thing though. I'm sorry.
What do they do though?
Most anarchists don't really talk about Korea because it's just not. It's just known.
I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
It's just known from the fact that it's gonna be a fucking shit show that's gonna kill 20 million people. That there's no, people don't talk about it. Most anarchists, when they talk about foreign policy, are focused on the Syria conflict and what's happening in the Middle East because that's what's going down right now.
So here's what I think. I think that fucking like, I mean, I think everybody knows white fucking people are racist, whether they want to be or not. So when you want to talk about white anarchists or white Marxists or whatever, like, it's all just going to look like racist shit when it really comes down to it. So like, if a person of color who's a Marxist-Leninist wants to call me a racist, I'm going to be like, okay, you're probably right. And like, if you want to tell me how, you can, but I'm not going to fucking make you take on that emotional labor.
The type of alliance I'd like to have would be with actual fucking Korean leftists who are talking about this shit.
Which is what we're doing right now.
None of these people.
Right. None of them are Marxist.
None of these motherfuckers.
see, that's what I'm saying. We're talking
sorry,
about.
None of these motherfuckers from PSL.
There are anarchists too.
Okay, like, we're talking.
There's overlap. Here's the thing. Like, there's overlap, and you can't write all those people off just because they're associated with fucking Marxist-Leninism. Like, there's millions of people across the world who are Marxist-Leninist, and they're not white.
We're talking about umbrella terms here.
Yeah.
And a lot of people call themselves things that they don't. We're talking. A lot of people. I'm sorry. A lot of people call themselves things that they don't even know what they're calling themselves.
Right.
A lot of times, so it's like you call yourself a Marxist Leninist, right. And not even what you mean just means you think that we need to fucking change the government or that we need to change the systems. Like that's what that can mean. So I think it's foolish. I do think it is foolish for us to just be like, oh fuck all Marxist Leninists. That's what
right.
I'm saying. Like I organize
and
like
again,
Marxist Leninists
like
that I like.
Fascist two team shit. Like there are a fuck ton of people who don't identify with either. Are not probably activated. And are just like rolling their eyes at home, being like, "What the fuck are these people fucking arguing
exactly.
about?"
It's like it's stupid to go after ideology or building alliance between different ideas.
It's fun to do for comedy, but other than that, it's kind of useless.
Yeah, it's just like everyday people don't talk like this,
right?
If you want to reach those people, you just got to talk to them where they're at,
and you have to talk about the idea themselves, which is why I'm saying like, it's ridiculous, God. And I'm sorry, Tom. No, I totally snapped at Tom in my moment of political passion.
I just thought you might want some Turkish delight.
I do want the Turkish delight, and I love you. God. But okay, so we got like fucking 5 minutes left of the show. I do think that Marxist-Leninists and anarchists could come together. I think that like most people I talk to sound fucking racist, and I'm sure I sound fucking racist.
Yeah, and it's mostly like you guys are racist together because you like say these things that like are kind of like not even wrong per se, like, or like, you know, but in context and amplified among yourselves, like it becomes this like manageable, daunting, like fucking unified propaganda voice.
I mean, I think that a lot of white anarchists and Marxists, just Marxists in general, engage in a lot of the same shit though.
Yeah.
Like for example, like when I said that, oh, like there was a thing, it's probably not gonna happen because I can't afford it, but I was gonna go to this Zapatistas thing, and like somebody said, ask them if they're Marxist for me. I said, I'm absolutely not asking them that.
Yeah.
I said, and then there's somebody who identifies as a Marxist, and I'm sure anarchist would ask me a lot of the same thing. And I was like, I'm definitely not going to ask them that. Right. And I got very angry at them, and they didn't understand why. And I was like, I'm angry because Zapatistas actively say they are not anarchist, they are not Marxist, they are their own thing. So how dare you think that, like, if just because someone does something similar, even if they fucking read Marx and were inspired by it,
right,
like, why do you need to make it about this European dude?
Right.
Like, it fucking bothered me. And that, and you also hear, like, in Rojava, I've heard people, I have a friend over there, and he said that you get these young, starry-eyed, like, Marxist kids who get over there, and they want to just fucking tell everybody how they should be doing things, or they get really, and that is imperialist.
Yep.
So I'm just like, and that, those are the same people. So that's where I get, and there's like a feedback loop, and it's the same thing with anarchists. It's the same thing with fucking anarchists who just like want to talk over people and control things. And I'm like, oh, they're not doing anarchy right. And I absolutely do that because I hate a lot of anarchists, but I don't know. Like, I hope I don't, and I'm sure I do sometimes, but like walk into spaces and be like, this is how we should do anarchy. Like, you know, okay, we got like 2 fucking minutes left, but does anybody, I've just been ranting. Does anybody have anything they want to say before we head out here? You should come on again, Anonymous, because obviously there's a lot to be said. You could come on next week if you want. We could have a part 2 of this. We got, okay, so do you have anything you want to end off with, though?
I don't know.
We got like 2 minutes.
I don't know how to, like, you know, package the fucking thoughts that I've been swimming in, like, basically alone, right, for like months to like this conversation.
Okay, so why don't you think about that this week and come on next week? Okay, Peter, you're my bloody Valentine. We didn't get to share as much of our ridiculousness on this show, but I don't care because it's not that important. It's petty and it's dumb. All right, here's The Man Who Must Leave by Kim Sun. Is this gonna work on here? No, it's on a fucking fucking Spotify. All right. You were listening to What Would Save the World. Coming up next is Brooklyn Bandstand with Tom Tenney.